today is found in the book of Daniel, chapter 4. Daniel was a very young man and dwelt in the tribe of Judah. No one knows from what city that he came from. He was a very pious man, and he was likewise favored much by God and likewise praised by many creatures. When he was of the age of 12, he and his three friends were carried away captive by King Nebuchadnezzar unto Babylon. When he was in Babylon, and he was likewise chosen as one that had no spot and no blemish upon him, and he was chosen to be instructed into the language of the Chaldeans, so that he would likewise serve in the court of the king. He was likewise given wisdom from heaven. Him and his three friends, they prospered boldly in the language and likewise in the sciences of the Chaldeans. And it was seen that this Hebrew Daniel was much wiser than any of the wise men that were to be found in Babylon amongst the kings, magicians, and astrologers, and Chaldeans. This man, Daniel, his book is a book part of historical and likewise prophecy. First six chapters are historical, and the remainder of the book is prophecies. He was given by the inspiration of God to prophesy of the four kingdoms that were at that present time upon the earth, of their rise and of their fall. He likewise, in chapter 9, prophesies about Messiah. He gave the exact time when he would come. It would be 70 weeks, according to the scripture weeks. A week of 7 days is 7 years. And if we take 70 times 7, that gives us 490 years. This goes back to the time when Ezra was commissioned by the king to go up to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and establish the Jewish state. From that date, the third year of this King Ahasuerus, to the 33rd year of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he died upon the cross and finished the work that the Father had given him to do, is exactly 490 years. And this man Daniel, he prophesied thereof in chapter 9. And this Daniel then was carried away captive and remained in the city of Babylon. We don't know just when he died. We have no account of it in scripture. But he was over 90 years of age in the third year of Cyrus in the reign of this king of Persia. So he became quite old, of this man Daniel. We find then in this chapter an account given us of Nebuchadnezzar. This king likewise had been a commander of an army. His father had been king, and he had gathered a great army together, and he made his son Nebuchadnezzar the commander. And this Nebuchadnezzar, with this army, he went to fight against the Syro-Phoenicians, who had revolted and rebelled against his father. He put them down, and they overran Canaan, Moab, Ammon, and all the countries round about. And this Nebuchadnezzar was then the commander. But after his father died, he became king. And we find him in this chapter mentioned, Nebuchadnezzar, the king. And he was likewise a wise king, a brilliant king, a famed king, as the Bible teaches us. And here in this chapter, we find him speaking unto all people, all nations, and all languages that were at that present time upon the earth. Peace be unto you. He had a desire to tell these people and all the nations of the wonderful signs and wonders that the Most High God had wrought towards him. How mighty are his signs and how wonderful are his works, he says. And his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion from generation to generation. And this king is extolling this great God in these few verses that I just quoted to you. He had experienced the many wonderful signs as king. He likewise had had a dream, as you know, in the first two chapters. He had a dream and he completely forgot this dream. Couldn't hear enough of it. He called all his wise men together, and none of them could tell him what his dream was. But finally Daniel came forward, and Daniel, he by the inspiration of God, was given to know this dream. He and his three friends had begged God to give him the information of this dream because it meant their life. And God had given it unto Daniel. And he had made known this dream unto this king. And now this king, he had, after he heard this dream, fell down before Daniel and worshipped him and said that his God was the Lord of gods. We find likewise he had had a revelation of this great God, and God sent down an angel into the burning fiery furnace, where he had three subjects who had cast into this furnace, and he saw with his own eyes this angel walking with these three young men. That God sent his angel down to deliver his servants who trusted in him. He then knew something about this great God. He likewise knew that there were those that worshipped this God and served him in his own realm. And now this king, he likewise here is extolling this God. He's talking about these signs and these wonders that he had seen and that had been shown unto him. And he speaks about the kingdom of God, which is an everlasting kingdom. By this word kingdom, we are to understand the kingdom of grace that God had in his mind and in his purpose, and all before anyone ever lived or ever breathed, he had it in his mind to bring forward this kingdom. He had it. He was going to erect this kingdom. And he chose Jesus Christ as the head of this kingdom. And this kingdom is the kingdom of grace. God is the author and the originator of this kingdom. And this kingdom is a wonderful kingdom, my friends. And this kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. There will be no end to this kingdom. And this king knew that he was a great king, that he ruled over a tremendous, great number of people. 127 provinces, the Bible says, but he also knew that his kingdom would come to an end, but not this kingdom. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. This kingdom has its subjects here below. God puts these subjects into this kingdom. None can enter into this kingdom unless they are born again, born from heaven. They likewise will reveal that they are of this kingdom by their confession of the truth, by their lives and conversation, that they will reveal that they are of another kingdom. And this kingdom is a wonderful kingdom. Are you a member of it? Has God given you a new birth? Has he given you a new life? Do you know this God? Do you love him? Do you serve him? Have you found any pleasure, any delight in the service of God in your life? What a mercy of God has chosen you and placed you in this kingdom. Oh, you will live everlastingly if you belong to this kingdom. And God's dominion is from generation to generation. God is sovereign. He has dominion over the seas and over the earth and everything that he has created. He is the potter and we are the clay. We are the dust. And this great God in heaven above, he has our lives in his hands. He cuts one off and he spares another. He likewise raises one up to a throne and brings another down. It is his prerogative to deal with his creatures as he wills. No one can say unto him, what doest thou? And no one can stay his hand. He is a sovereign God in this way. His dominion is from generation to generation. As long as his earth shall abide, for this great king God, he rules and he reigns. As we were just singing, I thought it was an appropriate chapter for what we were going to speak about. And now this king, he was flourishing in his palace, and he was thinking about these signs and these wonders that God had given unto him. Now this great God in heaven above, he has likewise a people here upon earth, and they are set for signs and for wonders. And these people are the subjects of this kingdom that I've been speaking about. When God in his infinite mercy comes into our life with his blessed spirit and begins to turn us from darkness unto life, from death to life, when he creates us anew, when he turns us from the world, from sin, from the devil, from ourselves to serve him, this is a wonderful work of God in a person's soul. If this reveals itself in the outward life of a person, and this person becomes a sign. If this wonder that God has done, and likewise reveals itself when they come forward to make a confession of faith, when they become members of the church, when they come unto the communion table, if they then are signs and wonders here upon earth. God has set these upon earth. God has raised such up. We have such amongst us. The wonder of wonders, if God has made us a sign or a wonder here below, our lives will testify of it. If this king, he spoke about these signs and these wonders that God had brought to him. But many times these people, they don't dare speak about these wonders and these signs that they have experienced in their souls. And they keep their mouth shut. They're afraid to speak. Unbelief shuts their mouth many times. Unbelief is a great sin. We find the psalmist speaking, I think in Psalm 77, he says, is his mercy clean gone forever? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Does his promise fail forevermore? Place of unbelief. Couldn't believe anymore that God would be merciful, that God would be gracious. Oh, how many of you is listening to me who have had signs, who have had wonders done to you inwardly, dare not come out with them? Cannot believe sometimes that they are from God. The mouth is shut. You want more clear signs, more brilliant signs, more wonderful signs. Oh, my heavens, has God converted you? Has he taken you out of darkness and brought you into his marvelous light? Has he planted that light in your soul which caused you to leave everything, to forsake the world and every form of friend? And have you been given by grace to run unto him with all your needs and all your wants? Have you not in times of trial, of trouble, when everything seemed to be against you, run to this God, and has he not helped you out? Oh, can't you remember some of these signs and these tokens that he has given you? When you were in much doubt, much fear, much unbelief, couldn't believe that the grace of God was in your soul. You came to the house of God, you read the Bible, and suddenly, you had to believe again that there was something going on in you. Do you remember these signs? Why do you keep quiet? Why don't you speak about them? Why are you silent? Does not this king, this heathen king, who knew not God and feared him not, does he not put us to shame? He wanted to speak about these signs and these wonders, and you dare not come out with them. You conceal them. Oh, my heavens, if God has done these things for you and I, oh, let us testify of his goodness, of his love, of his mercy. Let us come out for his name. Let us show that we serve him with our love, with our lives, with everything about us, that we belong to somebody else, that we don't belong to the devil, we don't belong to the world, but we belong to God because he has chosen us and he has selected us and he has made us signs and wonders here below. But this man, this king, he likewise was flourishing in his palace. He was a very wealthy man. He was lifted up in pride and haughtiness because he ruled over such a tremendous country. And now while he was flourishing in his palace, we find that he fell asleep. And while he was sleeping, he had a dream. And when he awoke, why, this dream had troubled him. The thoughts of his mind and of his heart troubled him, and he became afraid. He trembled when he thought about the dream that he had. And he thought it would be good to have someone come to him to interpret this dream. So he called in all the wise men, all the Chaldeans, and all the magicians, and all the soothsayers, and he told them this dream. But none of these men could interpret this dream. Of this king, he had a dream. You ever had a dream? We've had dreams, plenty of them. And sometimes they've made us afraid. We awoke with fear. We trembled. I know I have, maybe you have too in your life. If you never had any dreams, you're fortunate. But dreams, they come from much busyness, the Bible teaches us. Being busy in this and being busy in that, then suddenly you have a dream about what we've been busy with. Sometimes you're busy with your employment, and when you go to bed at night, you wake up in the middle of the night from a dream that you had about your employment. It may be something else. Sometimes you dreamt about your children sometimes, or one of them got almost killed, or one of them was had to go here or go there, and you were much troubled in your dream, you woke up. Have you ever had something like that, that you were troubled, that you were afraid, when you awoke from a dream? This is what this king had. My age, we're more troubled, we're more filled with fear about dreams than we are about the standing of our immortal soul before this great God of heaven above. We are sinners. And we have to die and we have to appear before this God. We have to give an answer to him of what we have done in this life. And this never troubles us. This don't make us afraid. Be honest with yourselves. Isn't it true? Very seldom do you think about that. Oh, how sad is our condition. We sing in Psalm 203, and it's very true, that to live apart from God is death. And this is true. When we are dead in trespasses and sins, eternity doesn't trouble us. Death doesn't trouble us. Meeting God doesn't trouble us. We only live for the present. We're going to live forever. But if we have a dream, how? We like to tell everybody that dream, how troubled we were, how concerned we were. Oh, how much better it would be if you were concerned about your sins, about meeting God. For you know, today you are living, but you don't know if you're going to be alive tomorrow. And then you have to appear before God. And this king, he was troubled, he was afraid. And he called in the magicians and all the wise men that he had to tell him the interpretation of the dream. You know, there are many people that are just like this king, even today. Many of them have dreams. And who do they go with their dreams? They go to fortune tellers. They go to some people who read their palms and tell them things which are not true, which are from the devil. So many people take stock in these things. They run to people, to creatures, with their troubles and with their dreams, and they want an interpretation of them. And this king too, he went to these wise men. He knew not God. He feared not God. He had not the grace of God in his soul. I can prove that from the way that he spoke himself. After he had been so convinced that there was such a God, that these three young men were spared, then he made a decree. And he said in his decree that if anybody spoke against this God, he would be cut into pieces, and his house would be made a dunghill. You think a Christian would make such a decree? Never. He didn't have the grace of God in his soul. No Christian would ever make a decree like that, that if they didn't obey this God, that they would be cut to pieces, and that their house would be made a dunghill. That's proof enough that he had not the grace of God, although he had a considerable knowledge of this great God. And now this king went to these people for an explanation and interpretation of the dream. And none of them could give it to him. The Bible teaches us that God has hid from the wise and from the prudent are the most important things. These things have I hidden from the wise and from the prudent, Jesus says, and have revealed it unto babes. Now surely, Daniel and his three friends, they were very wise men. God had given them wisdom, even they excelled above the wisdom of these men, that Nebuchadnezzar had. But it was God's purpose in this respect that Daniel should come forth and give the interpretation of this dream. This, I can't understand of this king. Of this king, you have had Daniel in there, and Daniel had given him to know the dream that he had completely forgotten, and he had interpreted the dream for him. Now, if you and I are sick, deathly sick, we go to a doctor, and the doctor diagnoses what we have, he gives the proper remedies, and you're made well again. Then we extol this doctor to anybody that gets sick. We would tell them all to go there, right? And if we get sick again, then we go back to the same doctor. How come that this king didn't go immediately to Daniel? He had had Daniel before him, and he had made him as the head of all these magicians and these astrologers. He had set him above them all. And now when he had this dream, he didn't call Daniel first. No. He called all the other ones. And of course, if this thing was hidden from them, they couldn't interpret it. But God reveals his secrets to his people. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And to them he does show his covenant. And he is going to reveal this unto Daniel. And therefore, at this time he called him Daniel. At last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, named after my God, he says. So that proves to us that he had a God, an idol God that he worshipped. And he would even name Daniel after him because he was such a brilliant man, such a gifted man, and now he desired Daniel to hear his dream. And we find that he speaks unto Daniel and says unto him that he knows that the Spirit of the Holy God is dwelling in him, and that no secrets trouble him, and that he would be able to interpret the dream that he had. He had a lot of faith in Daniel. He had faith to believe that Daniel could interpret his dream. But he also believed that he had the Spirit of God in him. But Daniel was set for a sign and for a wonder even in the realm of this heathen king. What a mercy, my heavens, to have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. A blessing of blessings for any man or woman in this life to have God to come down into our souls and make it his dwelling place. This is what it constitutes, that the Spirit of God has come into us, then God is dwelling in us. Some may say, God dwelling in me, such a monster of sin like me? I can't believe it. Who taught you as a monster of sin? Who showed you that? You didn't know that before, did you? It was God that showed that to you. And it's God that's dwelling in you and revealing this yet day after day unto you. For this great God, he takes possession of sinners, and he makes their hearts his dwelling place. Has he made that yours? Oh, what a mercy if you have this God for your God. You couldn't have a better friend. You couldn't have a more powerful friend. Oh, he is a friend of friends. May he be your friend. Seek him, my Bible class. Oh, bow before him and worship him and ask him that he would take your heart in and dwell in your heart and be your God. For this Daniel, he had then the Spirit of the Holy God dwelling in him. And now this king, he desired to tell the dream unto Daniel. He had told it to all the others, and now he began to tell Daniel his dream. He said that in his dream he seen a tree, and this tree was high and it was great, and the branches were spread out immense. And that This tree had a lot of leaves on it, a lot of foliage on it, a lot of fruit on it, and that all people, all flesh, they ate of this tree. And likewise, all the fowls of heaven, they dwelt in the branches of this tree. He explains what a wonderful tree this was in his dream that he seen. But then he seen in his dream that there came down a watcher from heaven and said, "Hew down this tree." And this tree and its branches was to be cut down. It was to be destroyed. But the root of this tree was to remain in the earth. And what this watcher said would be that would take place with this tree. This tree resembled a man, and the man's heart would be changed into a beast heart, and this man would become a beast, and he would eat grass like an ox, and he would dwell in the fields, and 7 seasons would pass over him until he learned to know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men, and that he setteth up over his kingdom here below the basis of men. But the whole dream I can't remember too well, my hearers, word by word, but this is somewhat of the dream that he spake unto Daniel. And Daniel, of course, when he heard this dream being spoken to him, God in heaven began to unfold it for him, what the meaning of it was. He hadn't heard it before. He didn't know anything about this dream. But this wonderful God, he knows all things, and he, by his blessed spirit, began to unfold it unto Daniel, the meaning, the interpretation, while the king was telling it. And now when the king was done, we find that Daniel, he was astonished for an hour. He never said a word. All these other wise men, they were all sitting around. They were waiting for him to give the interpretation of this dream. Some of them probably thought he don't know it. He can't answer it. Or he knew it. But he was thinking, what will this king do? How will he receive this interpretation that I have to speak to him about? He was troubled. The king saw that he was troubled. For 1 hour, nothing was said. There was silence. And then the king spake unto him and said unto him, "Let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble you, Daniel." And when he said this to Daniel, Daniel received a little confidence that he could tell the king this dream. Daniel was a child of God. He was an upright man, and he was honest and sincere before God and before man. He was faithful to the king and to his king in heaven. And then Daniel began to speak unto the king and said, "The dream, O my Lord," he says, "be unto those that hate thee and those that are thine enemies." And then he began to unfold unto this king what this dream was. He said, "The tree which you saw, and which was so great and had spread itself so immense, and under which even all people ate, and all the fowls of the air dwelt in, and this tree art thou, O king." This is what Daniel told him. And that there came a watcher from heaven and said, "Hew down this tree." This was by the degree of the watcher and the holy ones. Who were they? A triune God had decreed that this king should be humble, that he should be brought low. The time was coming when he likewise would learn to know that God had placed him in this position. This he had not realized. This he had not honored God with. He had become so great and so immense and had grown so that almost all the world at that time were under his dominion. So great was this king in power that who he would, he slew, and who he would, he kept alive. Who he would, he put up, And who he would, he put down. So great this king had become. And he had become with this a very proud man, lifted up in pride and haughtiness. And God seen this, and God was going to humble this king. And now Daniel had to tell him that he was that tree, and that this watcher was God, who likewise had decreed that he should be cut down, that the tree would be cut down, but that the roots of it would remain in the earth was a proof that his kingdom would remain secure to him, that no other kingdom would try to invade his kingdom and take it from under him while he was in this condition. It would remain his kingdom. He would still be king over it. 7 years were going to pass over his head. He would become then like a beast. He would be driven out from the presence of men, and he would eat grass like an ox, and the dew and the rain of heaven would come down upon him. He would be forsaken of everybody. He would be like a beast on the earth. And this is what Daniel told him, and this was going to take place with him. And then when Daniel had explained to him what God had decreed over him, then Daniel gave him some wonderful counsel. He told him that he should break off with his sins, and that he should live a righteous and a holy life, and that he should likewise do good unto the poor. Break off thy sins and thine iniquities, he says, and do righteousness and do good unto the poor. It may lengthen thy tranquility. He warned him, he spoke to him in love and told him that he should do these things, and that in all probability if he did, well then he would not experience this, what Daniel had said would come upon him. This warning that Daniel gave unto this king is for you and I, Jewish hearers. Or he told him to break off his sins and his iniquities and to do righteously upon the earth. So God speaks unto us. Every time you hear one of his sent servants, they come to us and they warn us and speak to us that we should forsake our sins. They come with the word of God. God says unto the wicked, forsake your way and turn unto me, and I will have mercy upon thee. This is the voice that God brings unto us as sinners in this life. He has no delight in the death of the wicked, but therein that they turn and live. He prays you through the mouth of ministers, turn, turn, for wherefore shall ye die? Break off your sins and your iniquities and return unto me. This is the commandment of God. This is the plea that he makes in and through the gospel. All my hearers, do give ear to this plea. Oh, do break off with your sins and with your iniquities. Go not on any longer serving the devil, serving the world, serving sin. For tomorrow it may be forever too late. Oh, may God fasten this upon your hearts. You've heard this from infancy. Time and again this is brought to you, and you give not ear to it, you give no heed to it. So with this king, he was warned, he was told, and he did not listen to Daniel either. No. He went on in his sins, he went on in his pride. The commentary teaches us that this king, he was so wealthy, so great, and he had a wife. She was from Media. She was from Persia. And this woman, she had been accustomed to living among the hills and among the mountains. And where this city was in Babylon, it was a plain country. There was no hills, no mountains to be seen. It was called Shinar. This was the name given to it many years ago. And now this king, because his wife liked to dwell amongst the hills and amongst the mountains, he made mountains and he made hills in the city of Babylon. And he built a beautiful residence, a beautiful new palace. He had a beautiful palace, but he set this palace on the other side of the river Euphrates. And he also built a bridge over this river to this palace. Not only did he build a bridge over the river, but he dug an underground tunnel from the one palace to the other palace, so that they had connection between these two places where the king likewise executed the office of government, and likewise where he and his wife dwelt. And now this king then was so proud of this great city that he had built. It was an immense city, a beautiful city. If you have any time and you have some book that gives you an explanation of the word Babylon, look it up. Sometimes you have 5 pages of it. And what an interesting story it is to read about this city, Babylon, how it was built, how it was laid out, and what was in this city. Then you will understand what this king likewise thought of that city. He was the king of it. He had raised it up to what it was. He had built it. And therefore we find that this king at the end of this chapter, he is sitting on the top of his palace and he's looking over this city, and he begins in his pride to say that he had built this city with his might and with his power and with his excellency. This was what he had done. And as he was speaking like this, there came a voice from heaven telling him that he would be taken and he would be driven out from the presence of men, and that he would be given to become like a beast, and that he would likewise eat grass like an ox, and that he would be like a beast in the field, and that 7 seasons would pass over his head, and then he would realize that the Most High rules amongst the kingdom of men. Oh my, here is my time is gone. I would like to give you a little explanation of what I saw of this man becoming a beast and what God did to him afterwards. The Lord willing, next week, we'll take up the lesson at this point. That's all for today.